Who's afraid of summer?
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Well, you know, if you went to bed last night around, I don't know, 10 o'clock, you figured, hey, I'm going to dodge a bullet.
Not so much.
Started snowing, I don't know, 11:30 midnight. And it's not going to stop until May. I never thought I'd be in a position where I'd say, I can't wait till Friday because it's going to be 20.
Just say it's not going to stop till May.
Yeah.
It's a rumor.
Probably... Friday is not just Friday. This week, it's the best day of the week. It'll be 20 degrees. Let's go live for Wide World of Roads one more time to Mary Vandeveld. Mary, we're going to need you a lot this morning, so try to stay off the hooch if you can.
Kind of busy, yeah.
So just give me a quick recap of the highways right now. Right now.
They're snow covered.
Excellent. Good call by you.
Traffic right now.
And it's so funny because I did not see plows this morning when I came in. There weren't that many, but you know they're out there and they're keeping up. They're trying to keep up because everybody was well aware of this.
But was this like a stealth plow situation? Andy Mazur said you were at Fresh Tracks on Lakeshore Drive.
Fresh Tracks on Lakeshore Drive coming.
Nothing in the West Loop.
The drive is good. Actually,
it wasn't earlier, but well, now it is now.
I mean, now it's not bad, especially, you know, to the north. South is a little sketchy.
Justin, what's your theory?
I think it's like a strategy. I think there's one sergeant kind of think Apocalypse Now, who's like, hold, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Looks like bigger heroes if you go
and
last minute.
Now.
Doesn't seem like they sleep on the side of the road. They're all hanging out, then they all just go.
They go at the right time. Once they see the snow start to maybe wane a bit, and then they go, and then it's on.
It's all right, so usually like 4:30.
I think one of the big problems on Lakeshore Drive was just the blowing snow. It just kept coming across, because I was in back of a couple of plows, and as soon as they came through, there was snow again.
Well, who put the lake in?
Yeah,
really. Right? Exactly. Nobody told me about that.
Very nice.
Build a wall around the lake. All right, so, you know, I always go with the standard lines of demarcation in your traffic report. Let's put you to the test a little bit. Average commute right now from Deerfield.
From Deerfield? Man, I'm going 45.
Quiz.
Naperville.
Naperville. Oh, hold on. Someone's calling me. Hold on.
Is that a more important call?
Yeah.
it's our program. Enough of this. Get back to the
guys.
Play the hits.
All the time. Naperville? Just came from there. How long did it take? Hour 15?
It's more like an hour 45 now.
Nah.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. That might
You said sick. I just came from there.
It took you an hour and 45 minutes?
Took me 3 minutes. I stayed at the Swiss Hotel next
door. I knew it. I knew you did.
You're making Mary sweat.
Give me something south. Give me something south, a line of demarcation.
South is not as bad.
So what? Give me a commute time.
I'm going inbound Ryan about 35 right now.
Okay.
Yeah, from 95th. So, I mean, south is not as bad. They're going to, you know, get the less amount. So north, northern verbs,
can I ask
bad
a question about the airports? Are the airports closing and canceling flights all day? I'm assuming.
We got a lot of delays now.
Krasanich might know.
I have 335 flights canceled at O'Hare, now 193 at Midway.
And you know what's super comfortable? It's sleeping in one of those chairs.
Oh, boy.
Well, if they could get these new plans for the airport approved, you get some hammocks.
Yeah, that's right. That's
when that
right,
park space is there, you can just go sleep in the trees.
But they pre-canceled most of the flights, because look at Sandberg and Dave Ennett.
Yeah, Sandberg is stuck in Mexico.
Oh, poor
Sandberg.
Thing.
Poor girl.
Yeah.
And Dave Ennett's stuck in where?
I don't even know where he is.
They left yesterday.
They moved
the
charter up to go to Maryland.
He's going to Maryland.
Oh, that's right. He's going to the other direction.
They left yesterday.
So he's going to get it twice.
They played Wisconsin. Didn't go well.
Yeah. That's my favorite part about the Sandberg emails, though, that she's sending to everybody. I'm stuck in Mexico.
Yeah. And then she says, I don't like it when it doesn't go according to plan.
Well, she's nuts enough, and, you know, this is no secret. She's nuts enough where I guarantee you she will make her family miserable today because the whole itinerary is off.
I will say this, though.
Sergeant
Sandberg. There will be some poetic justice in the fact that she and her family will be back, and they will land on a Tuesday night and go from Mexico to -12
right.
coming up. So, you know what? Joke's on her. The extra day, she gets the extra day. We get the joy.
It's like somebody put the, somebody put the lake in. I mean, who knew that it would be miserable? But this is bad. This is bad. Yeah. This is the entire winter in 1 week.
Right, and there is some good news on the radar screen. It's already stopped snowing in places like Hampshire and
New Hampshire.
Out in Belvedere and Kirkland. I mean, completely stopped snowing out west. So this is going to end very quickly this morning.
Yeah, but the,
moving forward,
then you got to clean it up.
Continue to be someone from Plainfield just texted in saying an hour and a half.
There you go.
To Harlem and North Avenue.
3 minutes from the Swiss Hotel.
And people, please clear off
door to door.
Clear off your cars.
No, I'm not peeking. I'm not going outside till later. Yeah, clear your cars off. Don't do that little hole in the center of the windshield where you stick your eyes through like it's a sub.
Driving behind a guy, I don't know how he saw out the back window. It was snow covered completely.
Right.
You know, like, come on, buddy. It's blowing on me.
Yeah, we know it sucks, but you got to have a little bit of a way to see. Now, the upside for you, if, listen, if I'm a cop today, I'm not stopping anybody.
Yeah.
I didn't even see any cops out and about.
If I'm a cop today, you're getting out of the car. You're bringing the license and registration back to me.
Sir, do you know how fast you were going? 20? I don't know.
Yeah, 15?
But don't count on my information because the police actually do their job and they're professionals. At 6:17, we'll do a little bit of this and then a little bit of that, and then we'll come back, and then we'll do the top six at 6 and set up the rest of the show.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks. With the top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Top 6 at 6, item number 1's obviously the weather. We're under siege.
Winter siege.
The snow could drop up to 10 inches in the worst areas. Most of us will get 3 to 6. And, of course, all eyes on the middle of the week when Wednesday and Thursday will be absolutely apocalyptic wind chills. 50 below to 60 below both days. Weather Channel this morning, on Wednesday morning in Chicago, is predicting a wind chill of 57 below.
Wow. I'd love it. They're this close. Right now, we're hovering to be the record.
Mm-hmm.
The
lowest Let's go for
temperature
it.
Ever. I'm sorry.
May as well do it,
go
right?
In.
I'm
Come
moving
on,
to Alaska.
You want to be a part of history.
My favorite part is that the record held is the Super Bowl week.
In 85?
85, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
January 20th, 1985, the temperature was negative 17 or negative 19 or 21 or something.
Well, that probably drove a lot of people indoors where they wouldn't have necessarily been.
It actually gives you perspective because I remember watching that game, and I don't remember cold. I know people will say, no, it was so cold, but I don't remember that ever factoring in, even though it was that cold.
No.
I remember it being cold because I remember Rush Street, the party afterwards. There was a lot of, I think it was Rich King. Other guys had like the fur coats on, reporters.
How much would
Dave
it have sucked to be a pizza delivery guy that day?
Oh, man.
Because you're outside nonstop.
Are you the kind of guy that if you order a pizza, you're going to throw a couple extra bucks on a cold day?
Oh, I'm a good tipper.
Now, that's the
I'll
kind
tip
of,
you if this show goes well.
But, guys, this is the kind of weather that kind of stuff is. That's kind of stuff stops. You're not going to see regular activities going on when it's that cold. I mean, this
What about the mailman?
Well, you know the law on pizza. Whether snow, sleet, freezing rain, or vicious wind chills, pizza has to be delivered.
If it does, it gets to be 60 below, they're not going to deliver.
Almost all schools right now in the Chicago area are closed. I mean, the only ones that aren't are the Chicago Public Schools, and I'm sure there's a flurry, if you will, of others. But the wonder will be this week for the cold. During the polar vortex that was here 3 years ago, Chicago Public Schools closed at that time 2 or 3 days in a row, if you remember.
You can't have kids walking a half a mile to school in 50 below wind chill.
No.
You can't.
It's tough for CPS more than others because you know they have a lot of poor students in the question.
They have a lot of meal programs,
The question
too.
Is, are the kids better off in school than that they are out?
Well, as long as you survive long enough to get to school.
Yeah.
So at some point.
I have a feeling they'll close. What do you think, Steve?
Yeah, I would not be surprised if there was a closure of CPS this week.
Item number 2, this morning. This is a big story, and this is going to get buried. But this morning, a U.S. negotiator is saying that a framework has been agreed upon between the United States and the Taliban for a full withdrawal of American troops from Afghanistan.
Wow.
Now, if this is real, that's a huge story. It sounds very preliminary. However, the Taliban has controlling interest in whatever the Afghan government is at this point.
And the point would be that they would agree upon not sponsoring terrorism in controlled areas, meaning if the U.S. right now withdraws from areas that they control, the Taliban would promise not to go into that area and create terrorism hotspots or
Safe zones.
Safe zones.
And here's the thing. Why can't we trust the Taliban?
Yeah, right.
You know? But this is the insanity of war. This is what's insane. And by the way, this will be the second time in a generation where the world's two superpowers have had to leave Afghanistan because you can't win a war there. It's absolutely unwinnable. There's a scene at the end of Charlie Wilson's War, which is really, I don't want to blow the movie for you, even though it's 20 years old now, because it's that good a movie. But at the end of the movie, Tom Hanks is trying to get money for schools. And Congress laughs at him. Hey, we won the war. We got rid of the commies. We're not giving you money for schools. Well, that, of course, turns into terrorism and turns into all the stuff we're fighting now. But the tribes, literally the tribes, go back to shooting each other as soon as the Americans leave.
Is this the longest war in United States history?
By far. Next, government's reopened. Temporarily, Nancy Pelosi still hasn't reinvited President Trump for a State of the Union address. Well, what if he brings wine? What if he brings something?
Some crackers.
It won't happen tomorrow. Trump looked to Twitter over the weekend to slam everybody, including Fox News. Trump is his feelings hurt by Fox News. Nobody knows where numbers came from on Trump's illegal immigrant quotations this weekend, but it doesn't seem to really matter. As of this time, the State of the Union is the least of our concerns, and
he
the government needs to reopen
Sunday,
in 3 weeks.
He was throwing out numbers, millions of this, millions of that, and the fact checkers had to get up early and work on Sunday because there were a lot of questions about where he was pulling these numbers
from. And none of it was true.
Yeah, shocker. When he wrote down bazillion kazillion, that's where I knew he had some real troubles. Next, the flavor of the moment, Kamala Harris, and it is Kamala, followed by La. Kamala Harris announced her presidential bid in Oakland yesterday to a huge crowd, more than 20,000. By the way, 20,000 people went out to see Kamala Harris announce. There were about 5,000 that went to wish the Rams off to go to the Super Bowl.
The story I saw this morning is that crowd size, Kamala Harris's crowd size, was larger than Obama's in Springfield when he announced. Now, it's Oakland, and it's probably 50 degrees there. Yeah. It was negative, whatever. It was cold when Obama did it, but still.
Also, last night, 60 Minutes, CEO from Starbucks, Howard Schultz, announced he's running as an independent. He's a registered Democrat. That's news for Democrats.
He said he's considering running.
He'll run. I mean, what's he going to do? Go sell coffee? Yeah, he'll run.
I don't think he's going to run.
You don't think he's going to run?
No, why is he on 60 Minutes?
Based on what?
I think he's just trying to raise it. I mean, why wouldn't he just jump in if he's going to be on 60 Minutes? Why wouldn't he say, yes, I'm running?
Is his platform?
Well, don't you think he's going to announce it at Starbucks?
Well, he's done this though. How many times in the past? You know, I might be running.
He's never put his big hot
throwing cold water on it.
His big hot cappuccino toe in like he has this time.
Cappuccinos for everybody, but they're hard to make.
Next, Pro Bowl was yesterday. They should really call this. They should not call this the Pro Bowl. The word "pro" should not be in this. This should be
awful.
The apathy bowl. Why the hell am I watching this bowl?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of talk of a few years ago about turning this into a flag football game or.
Well, they should do a skills competition.
Well, that's what it is now because they just tag them and then nobody falls down. Yeah,
there were a couple of guys hitting yesterday though. Akeem Hicks was hitting.
I know.
There's a play at the end of the game where the NFC is headed for their only score in the game. And I don't even know who the back was, but one of the backs gets the ball, and as soon as he was touched by a linebacker, the whistle went off.
Yep.
He wasn't close to being stopped or going down. So don't hurt him.
Well, you know,
I'll have to answer to his mom.
If I'm a fan, if I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, and Ezekiel Elliott, and they do that, they blow the whistle. Mm-hmm. I'm like, great, don't get him hurt.
Please don't
but
get him
I had
hurt.
A problem with the only hit of the game that mattered was when they botched a flea flicker, and it was Mitch Trubisky, and the safety who was blitzing creamed him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you don't get to cream our quarterback. Yeah. In practice, they put the dickies on him.
Yeah, the red jersey.
Why in the Pro Bowl, when you're doing two-hand touch, this guy gets to go helmet to helmet on Mitch Trubisky?
By the way, if you guys don't know what put the dickies on him means, it's a fashion thing.
Yes.
Cool. Trubisky threw an interception on a weak, lame pass. It was pouring rain the whole game, and it was hard to care. Kyle Fuller had an interception. Mm-hmm. Any other Bears make any news?
No, Tariq only had one carry and one punt return. That was it.
And nobody was running the ball, though, right? I mean, they were just passing it. It's boring.
It was passing. You know, Patrick Mahomes did his thing.
Grind it out, Mary. You like the running game, huh?
Patrick Mahomes
was boring. Smash mouth.
Patrick Mahomes was the MVP. He completed one of 40.
Yeah.
You know, that tells you everything.
And threw 157 yards.
And next, and one other thing on sports, by the way. Sox Fest. We'll talk about this a little more later on in one of your sports casts. Okay. But a lot of excitement.
Great time out there.
A lot of excitement. Oh, well, I mean, a lot of excitement around the Sox.
Yes.
And you're going to be one of our key guys.
Okay.
So we'll break that down.
Okay. Sounds good.
In the air department, someone made a good call on Twitter or on text that the actual 85 Bears was 86.
86, yeah.
So the cold was 85, so it was a year off.
Oh.
It was the year before that it was negative 20.
You were still
flying out. Super Bowl was still kind of something we would have won. You
know, January 20th, 1985, minus 27.
Yeah, there you go.
And lastly, a new study says that older women who eat fried chicken every day. Who eats fried chicken every day? Who eats fried chicken every day have a 13% chance of dying earlier than those who don't eat fried chicken every day.
Why is that news?
Here's why it's news. Here's why it's news. Because the amount of money that's given out for studies that are meaningless crap is incredible in this country.
I know.
You know what? Go eat your fried chicken twice a week and enjoy yourself.
And I'll put my shake and bake away.
Believable. Dr. Mo's coming up, and then we're going to talk to IDOT before 7 o'clock, get an update on the airport and the roads on the way, too, on 720.
That's all today WGN. For the top six and six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Doctor.
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
Is Northwestern Medicine BP? Call Dr. Most right now.
I owe an apology to my friend, Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here. First off, I was bitter when you sent me the photos of you enjoying outside weather in North Carolina.
Yeah.
But that's not the apology.
Oh, okay.
The apology, because I am better. By the way, there's a great picture. Can we post a picture of your dog on the couch with the fireplace blaring? That's such a great picture. Can we post that?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, okay.
I don't know if the dog had to sign off on it.
No.
Does have to sign off on it, yeah.
All right, so here's what I need to apologize for. You put tremendous amounts of work and time into preparing for this segment every week, and the audience benefits from all these incredible notes. That they can use is, a ready WebMD-like reference. We got to throw those out today.
We got to throw all
of your homework out today.
We'll use them later, yeah.
We'll use them later.
No, they are. It is not a time-sensitive topic, but this is.
Yeah.
This weather is insane.
Oh.
So let's start with the cold and then come back to the snow. The cold that we're dealing with in the center of the week, talk about hypothermia, talk about frostbite, and talk about why you shouldn't be outside, and God bless anybody that's got to work outside.
Yeah, I think one of the big things people have to understand is we are talking about extremely, and you know what, we're all a lot of media hype about this, but I can't emphasize it more. We're going to hit temperatures and wind chills where frostbite can occur within minutes.
Right.
So think about that person that's going to wait for a bus. Think about that person that's going to be outside. We're talking minutes before frostbite. So good that we teach people what to prepare for, how to wear, what to dress, and then also what to look for in signs and symptoms. So the initial thing you're going to get is something called frost nip. Your skin gets red. It kind of gets some pins and needles. Moves to superficial frostbite fairly quickly. The skin is white. It's waxy. It's still soft. And it kind of feels warm at that point. Once you get to that point, a little bit more troublesome. And then deep frostbite, it's going to be waxy, very pale, and the skin will be hard. And that is very dangerous, and we need to talk about what to do to not only prevent that, but how to get back off of that.
Well, you can lose your limbs, right?
Absolutely, you can. You can lose digits from it. You can lose the tip of your nose. You can lose your ears. Those are the biggest things because of poor circulation and air exposure around it.
Doc, I always wonder when you see these temperatures, and it is a strange phenomenon to look at the weather report and see, you know, negative 19, negative 40, negative 50 when it comes to wind chill. What is the human body, especially in our area, where's the threshold? I always see that, and I'm always like, well...
Oh, you want to know when we're going to die?
Yeah, no, I just want to know, like, obviously we get into dangerous territory we've never been at before, but is there, like, a number that science thinks about? Like, if it's negative 100, then it's all bets off.
So when do we like, freeze and break, like a cartoon.
Yeah. So what happens is the body tries to keep everybody, if I asked you what your normal temperature is, everyone comes up with the number 98.6. Mm-hmm. you know, the number 95 is where we start to see hypothermia. The body is going to do everything it can to protect the brain and the kidneys. So what it does is, as it clamps down to keep that circulation going, to keep that portion of the body functioning and warm, then we start getting the problems on the outside. So what temperatures are we looking at? Yeah, when you're looking at 23 below, those are temperatures that that body's going to do that. The body's going to start to clamp down to protect the most important parts, and you're going to see decreased circulation to our extremities.
It really is amazing, because you think about, well, why are my feet and hands cold? It's because your body knows to switch gears and protect your heart and your brain, right?
Correct. It's going to protect the heart, the brain, and the kidneys. It's going to try to keep as much of that heat as it can in there, and it's going to say, I can live without a hand, but I can't live without my brain. So the body is smart enough to try to protect itself, and it's going to continue that increased circulation in the important part.
Doc, what can we do to help our bodies?
Yeah, you know, Justin, it's a great question, and people really need to understand this. People, you know, always think that how do I get dressed for this, because I know it's going to be that cold.
Mittens!
Well, mittens, I'll go to mittens, and you don't like that.
No, I got mittens. I didn't tell you this. I got mittens.
Mittens are much better than gloves.
I got the fingerless gloves with the pop-top mittens, where you can flip the mittens up and take them down if you need. I did it, Doc. I listened to you.
Good. Yeah, I mean, I have mittens in the car today. I do care. I use mittens. You know, I have a brand called Hands Out that I like. You know, that you can still get to your phone if you want to.
That's what I'm talking about.
But probably one of the most important things people can do right now is realize that they have to wear layers. And we always talk about layers. One of the most important things is that base layer is not cotton. We always put on a cotton t-shirt, a cotton shirt, thinking that it's warm, when in fact, in this weather, you want a polyester layer as your base layer, the closest to your body, because you will generate some heat, and cotton will retain water and actually cools you, where polyester doesn't.
Yeah, so you don't want a layer of frozen t-shirt sweat on you.
I like this.
Correct.
Closest to your body, and that's what happens, right?
Yep. So that base layer should be a very tight polyester layer. That's the best. And then the outer one, make sure it's wind and waterproof. Those are probably the two biggest things there.
All right.
You can get a wool in between there, which will keep you warm.
Hypothermia. If we get to that point, that's hospital, yes?
Oh, absolutely. Yep. Because at that point, we really need to start to figure out how we're going to warm you, because there are different ways to warm people. And probably one of the most important things is people that do get frostbite, or people that are getting close to frostbite, what's the first thing people do when they walk in the house after being
hot
out
water.
In the cold? Well, they rub their hands together, right?
That's right. Yeah,
they're like, oh, they rub their hands and go, oh, it's so cold out there. Probably the worst thing you can do if you have frostbite. Because when you have frostbite, the cells are actually frozen. There's water in our cells that freeze. And at rubbing motion actually breaks those cells and does damage to the cells and damage to the nerves. So you don't want to rub your hands.
But you also don't want to go in and crank the hot water on, because you don't know what the actual temperature is, right?
Exactly. You have loss of sensation there. So if you're going to put your hands under warm water, which is a good idea, as long as someone there with normal sensation can make sure that it's not too hot.
Interesting. I wonder if we're in that situation where we come out of the cold, we have to work in the cold coming up Wednesday or Thursday, whatever it is, and we're worried about our temperature. What should we look for? What are some of the symptoms and signs beyond frostbite that our temperature is too low?
Yeah, you know, as you sit there, and what are we going to do? We're going to shiver, right? We know we're doing that. The body, that's another way for the body to make their own heat. I'm not getting enough heat, so I am going to shake, and that's going to generate heat. But once you get to a point of being a little bit clumsy, a little confused, you start to get a little drowsy, your breathing changes, those are signs that you are headed towards hypothermia. The bad thing is that people don't realize it, because it's a very slow onset. But probably the biggest thing is make sure that you have your exposed areas covered. You know, we talk about the head and how much heat is lost from the head. We lose a lot of heat from everywhere, but people really do need to make sure that they have a good hat on to keep that warmth in. Because if you start to get to that point where you're shivering, then you're at a point where the next steps are bad. So try to get inside at that point.
All right, we're tight on time here. Elise says, I've got poor circulation in cold weather generally. How do I know it's worse now?
Yeah, absolutely. People who have circulatory disease, people who have diabetes, really have to be very, very careful because the circulation will clamp down even more than it is already. People with diabetes have what we call small vessel disease, where the vessels are smaller, so we're not getting more blood flow in there, so they have a much higher propensity for hypothermia as well as for frostbite. Those individuals definitely wear mittens. Even put the hand warmers inside those mittens if you're going to be outside for any period of time. And probably the most important thing I can say is anybody with circulatory diseases and diabetes, don't go outside Wednesday. Stay in.
Texter says, stick my hands in my crotch, my armpit. Seriously, I'm asking. This is a great day to adjust yourself. Nobody's going to question you.
Absolutely. I mean, those are two areas in your body where you know you're going to have more heat generated. So it's a great idea to take your hand and put it underneath your arms. You could probably do it right now and go, wow, that is warm. And be prepared. You know, those people that are in their cars, make sure that you have, put a blanket in there, put some extra stuff in there because cars are going to be breaking down that we don't even think about that. Extra coat. Wear boots. Forget this is function over fashion for the next couple of days here.
And I know you have a similar condition. I think it's called Raynaud's.
Raynaud's.
If somebody says my hands turn white and they hurt, yep. I don't know that they've been diagnosed, but explain what that is.
Yeah, actually, if that happens to them right now, they probably have Raynaud's. Raynaud's is a disease that it affects your circulatory system. It'll clamp down on your blood vessels, and you'll look at your hands and you'll have two fingers that are white. We really don't know why. We don't know how. There's really not a treatment for it except move south. But really, when it gets to that point, you just want to try to keep those warm as much as you can. Make a fist and hold that, and it will come back. But people that have Raynaud's, this week will be a very bad week for you if you go outside.
Another texter, how do we protect our eyes? Any ideas?
Yeah, people wearing sunglasses is a great idea if you're out when it's bright out. Because two things, it blocks the wind that's blowing here. You're talking, like you said, the temperatures that you are. We have a thin coating of water, essentially, over our eyes, and that will freeze. So you really definitely want to make sure that you protect your eyes as much as you can. Snowmobile goggles, if you're going to be out for a long time. If you're going to go do something, definitely put something over your eyes. If not, just sunglasses. And I would tell people that wear contacts, this is a great week to wear glasses instead.
What about a heated welder's mask or a goalie mask? You like that idea? I'm an idea man.
The welder mask, yes. The goalie mask, no.
All right, last thing, and thanks for the quick turnaround on this. You're a dog guy. You got to walk your dog in weather like this. Your dog's probably smart enough not to want to go outside and will take the heat if they have an accident in the house instead. The dog will actually confess, go, yeah, it was me. What do you want me to tell you? It's cold outside. But between watching for old folks, whether you know them, love them, and can check on them, or just old folks in your neighborhood just to make sure they're okay, certainly do that. And what do you do about the dog?
Dogs, people say, oh, they're goofy when they have those things on their feet. But really, wearing boots on the dog's feet is very important and get them in. Also, if they're outside for a long period of time, again, warm their feet slowly. So take care of your dogs because the palms of their feet, essentially the soles of their feet, are not ready for this, not only the temperature but also the salt that we often see out there. Very irritating to the dogs.
Quick break. We come back, Doc, and we're going to talk to IDOT about the rest of the destruction that's out there today. Thank you.
You got it. Good luck, you guys. Talk to you soon. Yeah.
Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. Steve.
Steve, one of the things I do with my dog when I come in, I have a warm rag near the door and wipe off his paws with get any residual salt and stuff off the paws as well.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Guy Tridgell joins us, Director of Communications for IDOT, on a nasty morning at the beginning of all of winter in 1 week. Morning, Guy.
Good morning.
Where do you want to start? What do you want to tell me? What do people need to know?
After heading out today, it's going to be a very long, slow day of travel. If staying home is an option, that's certainly a good one to consider. So is public transportation. But if folks are heading out, they need to build a lot of extra time in the schedule, not just this morning, but throughout the day.
Do you have any sense of what's happening at the airports this morning?
I've been hearing that flights have been being canceled. Regardless of where you're going, you need to build a lot of extra time.
Anything where you're moving from here to there outside, know that it's going to take forever. Don't do it.
Hey, Guy, we were talking just about the strategy when it comes to snow plowing and making sure that you're dealing with a snowstorm that's in progress. Because some of us commuted it's early morning this morning to get here for the show, and you see your fresh tracks, things like that. What is the strategy when it comes to plowing, especially expressways and the bigger artery roads for IDOT?
Expressways are always going to be the top priority. You know, the main arterials in and out of the city will hit the primary routes as well, but it's always going to be the expressways. The issues for the main issue for us is whenever there's a storm and rush hour that we can only move as fast as traffic allows. If there's a lot of traffic out there and it's stopped and it's not moving, we're not moving as well.
Do you guys put the plows, you know, we knew the storm was coming, so do you guys go, the plows are going to be out at a particular time, a particular number of hours ahead of the schedule when it's supposed to hit, or does it not work that way?
We were out in advance last night doing, you know, some pre-treating where we could. We'll stay out as long as we need to. With a storm like this, so the way it's shaping up, we'll likely be out throughout today into the overnight hours and then through part of tomorrow. You know, one thing that we're going to be looking for, though, and the public should be aware of, is that with the temperatures is expected to dip the way they are, the materials that we put down on the road just do not function as well as they do when it's warmer. So roads can appear to be black and clear, but they can still be quite slick.
I never thought about that.
You know, for when you talk about IDOT and their relationship to local municipalities and different townships and even the city of Chicago, do you have communication with them about who's in charge of what jurisdiction when it comes to not just the arterials but some of the other roads?
This is a good question, Justin, because in Cook County you can come to a dividing between Cook and DuPage County, and one can be completely plowed and the other isn't. Yeah. So that's a good question.
That's decided well in advance. You know, there's maintenance agreements that we have with local jurisdictions that are decided well before the snow starts to fly. So it's determined well in advance who is responsible for what section of road. Primarily in Chicago and the suburbs, we have the interstates and the state routes. And in the city, the Chicago Department of Streets and Sanitation handles the city.
Mary, you get the last word.
So when do you send out, the dividing between the snow and the salt trucks? Like, on a day like today, when are we going to start seeing the salt trucks? When do you think they'll start to be needed?
It's the same vehicle. We have plows out that are also spreading salt at the same time. So we'll be plowing and spreading salt simultaneous. The issue that people need to be aware of, though, is that with these winds that we're seeing right now, is that even our plows, after they make a pass, more often than not, the snow is winding up right back onto the road, and that's going to be an issue throughout the day.
Well, I think it's important what you said, too, that the product doesn't work as well because of the ridiculous, crazy, record-setting cold. So don't assume just because salt was put down that it's working the same way it normally would work.
That's exactly right. I mean, with the temperatures that we're seeing, the materials that we use just doesn't function as well as when it's warmer. So you're going to see some slick roads out there, not just today, but, the next couple of days as well.
By the way, if you need Guy to come to your house and shovel your walk, he's willing to do that. It's part of the full-service IDOT program. Thank you for doing that, Guy, you and your shovel.
I wouldn't go that far, but
what?
Thank you.
All right, I know it's a busy morning. Thanks for jumping on.
Thanks, Guy.
You're welcome.
Guy Tridgell, Director of Communications for IDOT HAMP, coming up. News first, that's next on the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, where Steve Rozanich is sitting next.
An animal!
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
Super Bowl week. It's here. Let's not go to Atlanta. I think it's above 30 there. brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com. It's the Hall of Famer, Dan Hampton. Good morning, Hemp.
Hey, guys. Another beautiful day here in Chicago. Yeah, it's not much better anywhere across the country, but highs in the low 40s most of the week, and even dipping down into the 20s a night or two, I think.
You know, I saw the Rams rally, in quotes. 35,000 people showed up to say good luck to the Patriots when they left. The Rams had 15 people. The Rams' parents didn't even show up. I don't remember that kind of apathy for the old LA Rams before the move to St. Louis. Was there apathy back in the day for the Rams?
Yeah, no, it's always a kind of strange thing. You know, everybody was too busy worrying about going to the beach to worry about football.
Right.
And that's why they went to St. Louis 25 years ago. And, and then everybody said, oh, well, we can't get along with that football. And so, they made the effort to get them back. But it's a very, I guess in New England, football is a way of life. In L.A., it's an option.
It's another thing to do.
It's an option.
You know, but UCLA and USC still draw well. Obviously, you've got loyalty to your alma mater. But I've got another theory. And this is a sports talk thing. If you sports talk people want to rip this off and roll with it today. The Bird Magic Lakers-Celtics thing in the 80s changed the chemistry of L.A. And it became a Lakers town and a Dodgers town that it always was. And that was the end of the Rams. But, you know, look, they won a Super Bowl this year. That changes.
Well, and you know, they've got a chance. There's no question. And we all know that New England has been, you know, a creeping favorite here. They were basically a pick at the beginning. Maybe even the Rams were picked as a 1 or 2 point favorite. Now it's all, you know, but flipped to 3 for the Patriots. So, you know, this is a fascinating game. You know, we've talked about, you know, the inexperienced Rams against the old sage of New England, but ultimately, it's going to be decided by a couple of units on the football field. It always is. You know, the one thing I just thought was incredible was 2 years ago, the Patriots getting down like they did. You know, obviously, the Atlanta Falcons had an amazing game plan. They executed it, and I think they were up to what, 25 points.
Yeah,
and yet
exactly.
The Patriots did not panic, and they came back and won.
It's amazing. Take us back to January of 86 and when you guys got to New Orleans. You know, both teams have kind of arrived now in Atlanta. But what's that feeling like? I mean, you've got the game so close you can feel it, but yet it's still a little farther away.
Well, there's a lot of really cool things that happened. You know, when we got to New Orleans, Bum Phillips was, you know, the coach of the Saints, and he had like a get together for us all the very first night, and it was really a wonderful event. It was almost like, okay, the week, the game we've all dreamed of now is tangible. It's here, and the next thing you know, boom, it was Sunday. So things go fast.
Well, I love you. You know that. But you don't have a sense of what a normal Super Bowl crowd is. When you guys got to New Orleans, you were rock stars.
Yes, they were.
It was like they had the Bulls in their run. So it's not like the Rams arriving in Atlanta where some people go, oh, is that one of them? Every one of you guys was famous.
It was kind of cool. I mean, even in Indianapolis, there was 8,000 people at the hotel when we got to Indianapolis.
Right.
Yeah.
Hamp, the L.A. Rams have quite possibly the defensive player of the year in Aaron Donald, and they have some pretty big names some on the defensive side of the ball, but yet they give up a ton of points. I'm always confused about that because it seems like they have a ton of talent loaded. I mean, they get big contracts to these guys, but they're also a team that seems to win by shootout. Which kind of L.A. Rams defense should show up in the Super Bowl?
Well, a couple of things. Aqib Talib, the corner, was back last week, and it changed their defense. He was able to match up with Thomas, and then he'll probably get Edelman. The other corner, Marcus Peters, struggles. He has to get help. He'll be probably, you know, backed up, and a lot of times you might see him, you know, working on whether it's White or Sony Michel out of the backfield. But however, you know, the bottom line is the Rams, their money is spent up front. They've got 4 first-round draft picks, including Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh, and they are supposed to be wreckers. And the rest of the guys just kind of clean up. Well, if they play hard, and obviously they're capable, well, their defense would be a lot better. But you know what? To me, most of the year, you know, Aaron Donald's played hard, but the rest of them haven't. And Ndamukong Suh was basically invisible until the playoffs. Now he's playing a little harder, a little better. We'll still have to see what he does this coming Sunday.
And this whole thing with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, it's nothing short of amazing how these guys are able to do what they do, because, you know, in the salary cap era, they do lose players. They seem like they can plug somebody else into their quote unquote system and be fine. How's that happen?
You know, and I think I may have told this story last year, but it bears repeating. You know, everybody goes, what's the greatest quarterback of all time? And they said, well, Bradshaw won 4 Super Bowls. Montana won 4. Well, there's no question that Brady is the greatest. And the reason is, when you go to the Hall of Fame, there's about 11 guys in the Hall of Fame with Bradshaw that he played with. I think there's 6 in the 49ers, locker room that went to the Hall of Fame. How many people are going to go to the Hall of Fame with Tom Brady?
Yeah.
How many? Maybe Gronk, if he plays 2 more years, good, solid years. What about you? Randy Moss was there for a cup of coffee. Other than the head coach, nobody will be in the Hall of Fame except Tom Brady. That is how great he is. And and that's the one thing about Trubisky. We want Trubisky to be a great player. We want him to be, you know, a special player. But if you find one, if you truly, Peyton Manning was one. He makes everybody better. He makes the defensive players, he makes the kicker better. Well, God knows we need that. But Tom Brady makes everybody on the field better in so many different ways. That's the reason they can plug and play. And, some guys will play 2 or 3 years, and then they'll go to, Kansas City or someplace else, because they are not deemed a necessity. You know who is the common denominator.
3-time league MVP, and we haven't gotten that award yet this year. 5 Super Bowls. He'll have his 6th if he wins on Sunday. 4 Super Bowl MVP awards. A 13-time Pro Bowler. He's married to a supermodel, and he's still a bargain at the amount of money he makes. And by the way, he'll be the oldest quarterback to ever win a Super Bowl if he wins on Sunday. And he says that's not even a chance. It's his last game.
No, I'll be back next year.
So there you go. All right, Hamp, a special edition of Before School Hamp on Wednesday of this week to make our picks. Thank you, buddy.
Go Bears.
There you go. Dan Hampton.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
It's the Steve Cochran Show, continuing in the frigid cold nastiness of today. Please be careful wherever you're going. And when you get out of your car, maybe you're running a little late, don't hustle into work unless you're sure-footed, because somebody will be watching out a window and they'll giggle when you fall, as long as you're not hurt. And that's no way to start the day. This public service announcement, now you know. The attorneys at GWC pride themselves on being a preeminent injury law firm from Chicago. Their office is here. Their roots and families are here. And despite what you see and hear, and a lot of lawyer advertising, that's not necessarily true in many instances. Many of the law firms that you see advertising here in Chicago aren't even from Illinois. And unless you ask the question, get an honest answer, you'll never know the truth. Many of these lawyers you see on TV and billboards don't ever try cases. They want you to think that they're ferocious lawyers in the courtroom, but the reality is many just sign up the cases and settle for whatever they can. Now, if you're looking for a Chicago trial lawyer to aggressively represent you in your personal injury case, call the trial lawyer firm with 100 employees right here in Chicago, GWC. They're ready to get you the money you deserve, whether by settlement or by trial. Call GWC, 312-999-9999, 312-999-9999, or the website justicestartstoday.com.
The Bulls are going back to Brooklyn to battle D'Angelo Russell and the Nets. Bulls-Nets Tuesday at 6:30, WGN TV Sports.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
No! Loss to Brooklyn! God, are they a mess.
They're terrible. 13-14.
Is that what it is?
Yep.
Ugh. The most valuable person on the planet today is Olivia Jones from Florida. And Olivia was going to be on the show with us, but Olivia was waiting, and we took too long with Hamp, so she had to go back to class. So let me tell you her story. A high school senior is getting high praise after intentionally causing a car crash to save a woman's life.
Wow.
According to WTSP, Olivia was sitting at a red light when she noticed the driver next to her had her head down. I thought she was texting because she was looking straight down, and then she started seizing. Had a seizure right there at the wheel. Said the woman's car began rolling into oncoming traffic. Scared at the thought something could happen, Jones jumped into action. She said, I opened my door and told people behind me she was having a seizure. Nobody seemed to care or wanted to help. So I pulled in front of her and let her hit my car.
Wow.
She was kind of seizing out of the car. I took her seatbelt off. She had blood on her, and I was on the phone with 911. That's 911, kids. The fire department arrived just a few minutes later to treat the driver. It's unclear how she's doing now. But to have the wherewithal as a kid to be able to just plan that out, to map that out in seconds, to go, all right, you adults behind who don't seem to care, I'm going to roll in front of her so she doesn't roll into the intersection.
Split decision.
Crazy.
To be able to do that, to make a choice like that.
That's a
impressive
kid who goes back to class because she doesn't have time to wait for us because she's a responsible citizen.
That's exactly right. She made a split decision to say,
right,
I don't care about radio in Chicago. I got
right.
finals.
Right.
I got to get out of here.
Jones always has had a passion for helping people, says the folks that love her closest, and wants to become an orthopedic surgeon someday. That's a good kid.
Absolutely.
Very impressive. That's your most valuable person on the planet.
Wow.
All right. If you watch any of the NHL coverage this weekend, the All-Star game is fun. The skills competition is fun.
Mm-hmm.
The thing everybody's talking about is Kendall Coyne. And Kendall's going to be on the show with us next hour, talking about being the fastest human on skates.
Unbelievable.
Ryan Noble's coming up to tell you what's going on and what's not going on in D.C. And much like Donald Trump when he made this announcement, Lou Manfredini, if you're listening, call the show. Because I'd like to talk to Lou about what you need to do this week. Remember when Trump said, Russia, if you're listening, if you found the emails?
Right.
Lou may be hiding emails. Who knows?
Lou, if you're listening, we need the emails.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And later on, Treasurer Mike Frerich scheduled to appear about something cool the state's doing. That's right. I said Illinois is doing something cool. Okay. Sponsored by VictoryAutoWreckers.com. Odin will be on to talk about the SAG Awards after 8 o'clock.
Well, if one thing comes out of the 3 weeks of this three-week negotiating, we have a piece of legislation that says we'll never shut down again. And you know how you're going to do that? If we basically ever inflict this pain on ourselves again, they don't get paid. The day the legislators do not get paid, I'll guarantee you there will not be a shutdown. People in Washington didn't feel the pain. It was the people outside of Washington, all the federal workers, and all the millions of people, depending on their services.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
That's how West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin, the moderate Democrat. You know, I was talking about this last week, and this bill has been brought up again and again and again. That's the No More Shutdown Bill versions of it, where Congress doesn't get paid. Here's the other thing you do. You take away their health care. You take away Congress's health care, and you take away their pay immediately. And then that's how you get the people who benefit mostly from making the rules to change the rules.
Don't you have to do that with the president as well? Because the president is a big factor in that. So you'd have to make sure that the White House doesn't get paid as well. Although I don't think he gets paid anyway.
How much do you think this is really going to impact the problem, though, guys? I mean,
well, because most of the Senate, or I should say most of Congress, not most of the Senate, most of Congress is not yet multimillionaires who have leveraged lobbyists. You know, with all the new Congress people coming in, they need their money.
Yeah.
So squeeze them. I mean, you got to do something, and you got to try to find a way where this can't be leveraged. Ryan Noble, standing by from CNN, joins us now. Ryan, if there's another shutdown, I say you and I don't get paid.
I didn't have anything to do with this, Steve.
Oh, that's right. Neither did I. What am I saying? I've gone over the edge.
But I think you make a great point. I think even the symbolic nature of the idea that there are federal government workers going without pay and then still having to come into their jobs every day while members of Congress are still cashing checks, it just doesn't look good. I'm not sure that it would end shutdowns forever, but I do think it would certainly motivate many of them to get back to the bargaining table. Justin's right. The president does get a salary. He has free public housing as well in the White House. President Trump receives a salary but donates it to charity. I'm not sure that would necessarily motivate him.
How about we charge the first family rent? You shut it down. We do rent. We figure out what that place is worth. And I'm telling you, downtown D.C., that's a high-priced situation there, and he's got to pay the rent.
No, that's a great idea. I mean, I think any of those ideas, all of the above, would work. How about, though, we get a system in place where we actually pass budgets on a yearly basis and do it the way it's supposed to be done, and then this wouldn't even be an issue instead of the way that we kind of budget by a crisis every year, which is the way Washington currently works.
Both parties have been a part of continuing resolution stupidity, and it's gone on forever. And, it absolutely needs to come to an end. Is Roger Stone there with you? Can we talk to him?
Roger Stone's not with me. I have my six-year-old daughter cutting up my shirt for him. Well, she doesn't know much about the Russia investigation, but I'm sure she'd talk to you.
Well, I like her a lot better. She's one of my favorite nobles. The Roger Stone thing, he loves the attention more than he loves anything. He probably rivals Trump in loving the attention. And for that matter, Ann Coulter as well, a name I rarely mention because she doesn't deserve any publicity. But where's this Roger Stone thing going to go? Do you buy that he might flip?
Well, it was interesting, his comments over the weekend, and he did so many interviews because, as he said, as he was walking out of the courtroom, as he faces a lengthy jail sentence that could end up being a life sentence given his age, where he said that the only thing worse than too much attention is not having any attention at all. He did say over the weekend that, you know, he's not necessarily averse to cooperating with the special counsel. He's just made it clear that he doesn't want to bear false witnesses, what he keeps saying over and over again. And his contention is that there's nothing that he knows that would implicate the president or himself in any type of crime. So therefore, why can't he just talk to Robert Mueller, and why can't he tell him everything that he knows about this situation? You know, I think Roger Stone is an interesting character in all of this because, you know, those of us that have been around him in political capacities for some time, there was always this sense that he was a lot more bluster than he was substance. You know, I remember when he was bragging about WikiLeaks and knowing that WikiLeaks was going to drop something, and everybody kind of just rolled their eyes, thinking that he isn't as connected as he says he is, and then all of a sudden the WikiLeaks information came out. So I think what Robert Mueller, I don't think they would have gotten to this stage with the pre-dawn raid and everything that was involved in it if they didn't think there was some sort of definitive link between Roger Stone and all of this stuff.
Absolutely.
So, you know, he says he's going to cooperate. You know, whether or not that means he's going to answer questions that implicate Trump, I think, is a whole other matter.
There's so much. You know, one of the things that's a takeaway from the Roger Stone story was, you know, at the beginning of this story, the president said there was no communication with Russia.
Mm-hmm. Then he remembered
one. Then it became two. Now you're hearing reports that, you know, Mueller has said that there are over 100 different instances where people from the Trump campaign have communicated with Russia during the campaign and before the inauguration. Is this at all, as we see this number get larger and larger, is there an impact on the voters and the Americans who are looking at this story and maybe changing their tune as they see blatant lies sort of revealed?
I think there is, and I, for a long time, believed that there was literally nothing Donald Trump could do to lose that rock-solid base of support that he has. But if you're starting to see, as you look at the public opinion polling, where there is a leakage there, you know, there for a long time, period of time, he was, you know, above 90% of support with Republican voters. And the latest round of polls has him hovering around 80%, which means a 10% drop just among the Republicans. His overall approval rating is as low as it's ever been.
Mid-30s now, right? Isn't that right, 35?
Yeah. Yep. And then when you even drill down on the polling more, it's really not about overall popularity for Donald Trump as much as it is the popularity that he has in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. Those are the three states that he took from Hillary Clinton that shocked everyone. If he loses one or two of those states, it's not going to really matter that he's holding on to 25 to 30% support of the American public across the country. If he can't win in those states, he can't win. And I do think you're starting to see a bit of fatigue in those regions. So I do think that, you know, this kind of long sustained drumbeat has made its impact. But again, guys, I always go back to this. If Mueller doesn't release a report that has a definitive, easily digestible example of, you know, a criminal or, you know, at least, you know, very difficult political wrongdoing, this serves as an exit hatch for Donald Trump, where he can say to his supporters that this was just indeed a witch hunt. So I reserve judgment on all of this until Mueller has his report
complete. Yeah, we don't know. We don't know until we know. Last question. Howard Schultz goes on 60 Minutes last night and says he's in as an independent, kind of. You know, this is not great news for the 48 Democrats who have already declared whoever the, you know, eventual nominee will be. And we don't get too deep into 2020 here, but it's an interesting development that the $4 billion net worth Starbucks genius Howard Schultz, who's always dabbled in politics, now wants to be president. Is this scaring Democrats?
Democrats are petrified by it. They view it as the worst case scenario to have a well-funded third party candidate that could raise havoc and draw voters away from them. I don't necessarily know if their concerns are completely based in reality. I almost could see a scenario where a Howard Schultz candidacy could actually benefit them in a certain way, because Donald Trump's base of support is not necessarily big enough, and there's a theory that could be drawn that he would take from both sides.
Totally
and
agree.
If you also could definitively find a Democrat that could truly unify all the different factions of the Democratic Party, I don't think a third-party candidate would matter all that much. But here's my prediction with Howard Schultz. This is a guy who thinks he knows a lot about politics, has been around it on the periphery, but doesn't really understand the heavy lift that is required to run an independent candidate for presidency. He's doing one of these three-month listening tours where he's going to go around and sell his book. I noticed if you're a Starbucks Rewards member, they sent every single Starbucks Rewards member a discount code to buy his book.
There you go.
You know, I think he likes the attention. I think he's going to get a lot of attention, but I think he's going to quickly find out in short order how difficult this is. And it's not, you know, you could have $4 billion, but, you know, in order to, there's a finite amount of talent in a place like Iowa to build up the infrastructure needed to win the electoral votes in those places. And I bet he looks at that and realizes that it's just not possible.
Too much of a heavy lift.
When I say that is, look at what Michael Bloomberg has decided. Michael Bloomberg, more than anybody, would love to run as an independent. He doesn't want to run as a Democrat. He's not a Democrat. He was a Republican when he got elected mayor the first time. He understands that you just cannot win the presidency based on the way that we currently have the federal election system. And my guess is Schultz is going to find that out in quick order. You know, a three-month listening tour really does him no good. In my opinion, if you're serious about
you got to get in.
Going and finding precinct chairs in all these states and finding an organizational structure to pull something like this off, that'd be much more valuable.
Yeah, it's deep in the weeds, but even getting on the ballots in states is not simply as saying, I'm in. Here's the deal, though. In 2008, I had Senator McCain on a couple of weeks before the election, and I said, look, I don't know how much money you got left, but here's what you do. You go to every major college town in America, and you do free beer night the night before the election on the condition that they agree to vote the next day. Howard Schultz goes free coffee weekend, the weekend before the election. He could buy this thing. Come on.
There might be a few federal election laws that you violate when you do that.
What?
But, you know, the idea, it's got a lot of great merit, and I think that I think somebody should at least try it call about it, right?
I'm an idea, man. Ryan Noble's at CNN, and we've got horrific weather here that we're going to send your way. I know you guys got blasted the week or two ago, but it's going to be a wind chill somewhere between 50 and 60 below Wednesday morning if you want to swing in.
Well, it's 40. It's going to be like 45 here today, and all the meteorologists are telling us here, don't get used to it, because that weather you guys are talking about,
it's coming your way,
is bearing down on us in a big way. We are not looking forward to it.
Donald Trump says it's a Nancy Pelosi front. It's a rare weather system. That's what he's calling it. It's calling it the Pelosi front. Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate it.
Thanks,
and say hi to your family.
All right, have a great week, guys.
See you later.
It's Howard Schultz's campaign should be a Starbucks on every block.
Right.
Instead of a chicken in every pot?
Totally.
Starbucks on every block.
Yeah, because there's three blocks that don't have one right now.
Right now, I mean, right now it's every other block, but he could make it every block.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Should have seen the look on Mrs. Carlson's face when he said, it's a keeper. Oh, cold enough for you?
Shut up, fat ass.
I really like to pull that one out on me.
I think if the Screen Actors Guild Awards had existed in 1992, I would have won probably two or three for my appearance in Grumpy Old Men.
Whoever produced the clip, they love to keep the fat ass in at the end. Just a little. Mm.
Yeah, my mom. You know? My mom just beamed from ear to ear. She said, "That's my boy."
That's called a badass by Walter Matthau.
By Walter Matthau.
Not a lot of people can do that.
And well, I'll tell you something about my acting. Yeah. I've never had a fat ass in my life.
No.
And yet, I was able to pull it off for that movie.
I still think your role in Little Big League was better.
Little Big League, where I asked the pressing question
in
the locker room.
Very pressing question.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people point to Untamed Heart, where I'm a drug thug. I mean, you know, I had a lot of crucial roles.
It's good stuff, man.
Can't believe I gave up acting with that kind of arc. All right, let's go.
Residuals are really rolling in. Still.
I still get checks.
You do.
Yeah.
I got two checks this weekend, like $20 a piece.
Nice.
Excellent. Yeah.
You know what? One was for Unsolved Mysteries, where I played a kidnapper in 1992 or 93.
Wow.
And I kidnapped a banker and I'm getting checks from that for $20-$30.
That's awesome.
It's crazy.
Did you rough him up, the banker?
Oh, yeah. I've never told you a story.
No.
No. Unsolved Mysteries. There was a banker that got kidnapped. True story.
Okay.
And I was the kidnapper.
Right.
We shot it in August in Minneapolis. It was 100 degrees. Mm. The kidnapping took place in November.
So you had to act like you were dressed cold for cold?
I had on an overcoat, a hat, glasses, and a suit, and a vest, and a tie. Oh. I bet I lost 47 pounds in sweat. And there was a fight scene on the side of a hill where they had to buy leaves. They had to purchase leaves that they could bring in. I don't know where you buy leaves. And drop them on the hill, and we had about a 30-second fight, and he got away.
And cut. Scene.
So, that's acting, kids. All right, Mary, so update us. I know you're going to do the full traffic report in a second. Any specific ridiculous area you want to talk about? Because it's pretty ugly downtown right now.
No, there's nothing in particular because they're all really ugly. I think 57, the Bishop Ford, are really bad. 80-94 is really bad. But as for the expressways, they're just high travel times. I mean, they're all snow-covered. So, you know, I don't even see any let up on any of them. There's still high travel times on every single one of them.
We're getting a lot of reports about school closing. You can go to emergencyclosingcenter.com. But there's a lot of schools that are doing the we're going to open 2 hours later. Chicago Public Schools is open, but there's also and there wasn't as much snowfall south. So a lot of the we're getting texters from the Orland Park area. But there's also some closings. If you don't mind, I could just.
All right. Precious, do a couple.
Precious Lambs Preschool in Grace Lake is closed.
Andy, you went there, didn't you?
Yeah.
You Precious
Lambs. I graduated with high honors, yes. Right.
Plum Grove Junior High in Rolling Meadows is also closed. Uh-huh. I don't see it on here, and I'm a little annoyed by it, but Paw Paw, I saw last time, Paw Paw, and I think it was down by the Peoria area. I don't know if it's closed or open. I just like Paw Paw.
Isn't there a Paw Paw, Indiana?
Yeah, I think there is, yeah.
There's a Paw Paw, Illinois as well.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so, and then a texter texts in saying the Geneva school system is closed, and they just wanted to hear me say it. For old
school. Okay. All right. Cool. Kind of a Wally throwback. Yeah. Throwback Monday.
I just like to hear. Yeah, Geneva. All of the Geneva schools in the school district there are closed.
Thank God. Thank God. Thank you for the work you're doing.
Thank you, buddy.
And school lunch menus, are those coming for the schools that are open today?
That's next, right?
Peanut butter and jelly with Krusties.
Ooh, Dean
and chicken pot pie.
Mary Vandeveld, on Wednesday and Thursday, when the temperature is going to be so cold.
Yeah, I'm not coming in.
That's what I wanted to check with, just see if you're coming in.
Yeah, I wanted to double check, too. Can we all stay at home on Wednesday and Thursday, or do we all have to come in?
It'd be great if we had like a 9-way conference call to do the show and nobody actually came in.
I'm coming in.
No, everybody's coming in. Yeah.
I worked at a different station one time where the morning show called in because it was really snowy. It was one of those big snowstorms in 2012. But the idea was that they just like, it's really hard to get here, so we're just not going to do the show.
Right. No, we can't get in, possibly.
Can you imagine? That's like the one thing that we still provide service.
Uh-huh.
You know, you can go get stuff for other places, but the idea when a snowstorm, you got to be here. But they're like, nah, I don't know. You know what? Run a rerun.
You know what the number one thing people are saying this week? They go, why didn't I get that remote start? Why? 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 People would pay 5 times retail for a remote start if they could have it installed today.
Mine is the best.
I've got it on my phone.
I'm thinking that I'm going to start my car a couple times before I go to bed.
I'd start it now.
Yeah.
I'd just let it run till Thursday.
I tell you how I start mine, right? From the bathroom upstairs.
Yeah.
That's how I start mine.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And my car's in the garage.
Yeah, I mean, you don't worry,
people. Everybody says you shouldn't start your car in the garage with the garage door closed. Well, it's detached garage, so I'm not going to get asphyxiated.
And you're not out there breathing
it. I'm not breathing it, and it's about 5 minutes. So
yeah, it's bad news for a bird if he's flying by when you open the door.
Possums that are hiding in your garage.
Yeah,
so, skunks. They're in trouble.
Knock them out.
Yeah. My daughter is moving this week into her new house. She was going to move on Wednesday. How about that for luck? Mm. And she moved to Thursday, which is not dramatically better. You think about movers that have to deal with this week. I don't know how you guys do it. If you have thumbs that still work and you have to and you work for a moving company or a two guys in a truck situation, I don't know how you guys do it. God bless you. But feel free to text in and say, yeah, thanks, because it kind of sucks today. It's 8:02. We'll come back. 8:03, make it. We'll come back. Get your news in just a second at 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than what I should.
commute this morning to Channel 9, I'll bet.
It was brutal for me. As you know, I live just a few blocks away from the station, so it took me, it's going to be shocking, I'm not trying to one-up anyone, 4 minutes to get to work today.
And that's normally a two-minute commute, isn't it?
So I'm normally a two-minute commute, so my double my commute time today.
It took me 3 minutes to get in from the Swiss Hotel where I stayed last night.
That was smart.
Yeah, well, listen, not just a pretty face.
Should have told me we could have had a party.
Exactly. You kidding?
We could have had a party.
This what? This
hotel party with the morons.
You know what my Sunday night party is now? Yeah. I get to the Swiss Hotel at 8:45. I'm looking at my watch going, if this idiot in front of me would check in faster, I could be asleep by 9. I'm a wild man, Dean. A wild man.
We could have had pizza. We could have played games.
Right. Yahtzee.
Done each other's hair.
That's the thing, you know, especially on an awards night, I would usually sit between Dean's knees while we watch it together, and he would do my hair.
We talk about Steve loves cornrows for some reason.
Very tiny cornrows.
Tiny.
So last night was hard for me because we had the awards and we had the Rent musical. Did you watch that, Dean?
Which one did you watch?
I watched Rent.
I'm
sick of awards.
I watched both, and this is interesting with the award show. Megan Mullally was the host of the show. She was only on camera 3 times.
Oh.
She opened the show.
Something she said?
Tiny little monologue.
Not enough costumes.
And then didn't appear for 45 minutes after that. And the show is really moving along. You know, they're just introducing presenters. The voiceover announcer is introducing presenters. The show's moving along. We don't need hosts on these award shows.
I say bring the awards to the tables. Or to the seats if they're sitting there. Just bring them out and deliver them.
Just pin up the name of winners on a bulletin board someplace. Take a shot of it. Call it a night.
You like college graduations now where they just go, the R's. Will the R's stand
up? And everybody walks through.
They don't even have to walk. They just stand up and everyone goes, all right.
Seems like that would be reasonable. The show was it was entertaining enough. It got the job done of getting the awards out. And these are the Screen Actors Guild Awards. Awards by actors to actors. So this is strictly performances.
Uh-huh.
And there were, the big surprise of the night is that Black Panther won Best Cast, which is their
best picture.
Equivalent of Best Picture. Nobody expected that to happen because it's a comic book movie, because it's an action movie. That never happens. Everyone was expecting Star Is Born that went into the night with 4 nominations.
Got hosed, right? Nothing?
Not one award last night.
Wow.
Not even one award last night. So this may be it for A Star Is Born. They have yet to win a major award. They'll win Best Original Song at the Oscars. But now I think that maybe the movie peaked too early. The momentum was too early.
Is it possible when they're actors, and obviously it didn't win the other stuff too, but when it's a remake, does that have any effect where people are like, you know what, it's a remake, it's great, but let's go with something else that's original?
Might be. It could be because it's a remake.
Could it be jealousy because Bradley Cooper's so pretty? Could that be part of the problem?
Part of it, yeah.
How did that work out for you, Steve?
Well, it's always a problem for me.
How have you dealt with that?
That's why I got out of acting. You know that.
Black Panther, you know, not,
killed it. And there's only 13 awards for the entire night for the SAG Awards.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Black Panther wins, and it's a great movie. I mean, it's the most successful movie, made the most money of any movie last year, number one. It was a groundbreaking movie. It really pushed the envelope. It changed the way action movies are going to be made now. Comic book movies are going to be made now. It changed the role of African Americans and people of color in film. It changed a lot of things and was recognized for that last night. But so now Black Panther wins the Screen Actors Guild Award. Green Book won the Producers Guild Award. Roma won the Critics' Choice Award. Bohemian Rhapsody won the Golden Globe. And also Green Book, they share it because
so it doesn't really tell you
there
anything.
Is no front runner.
Well, Star Is Born is the only one left, so it should win the Oscar.
This
that would be a shocker.
There is not one indication that A Star Is Born is going to win, but there is no front runner in the Best Picture category by all the usual indications. Glenn Close won Best Actress last night. She is now the front runner for Best Actress at the Oscars. Rami Malek won Best Actor from Bohemian Rhapsody. He is now the front runner for it. Mahershala Ali has won everything. There's no question that he's going to win Best Supporting Actor. One of the other surprises last night was that Emily Blunt won Best Supporting Actress for The Quiet Place.
Yeah, right.
A Quiet Place. And she's not even nominated for an Academy Award, but she was so great in that movie. I'm so happy to see her get some love.
She's great in, you know, Your Poppin' Situation.
In the Mary Poppins Returns also. So
that's what it's called, Your Poppin' Situation.
Your Poppin' Situation is the full title, if you go the full title on that. You know, that it was very interesting and even more confusing, though.
It'll be completely rivaled by the Moron Awards coming up right after the Oscars. Everybody's talking about it. One last thing, and then we come back. We'll talk about Rent, a controversy. We'll talk about Gaga and Bradley Cooper on stage again. A really cool cameo this weekend. Michael Jackson's documentary is stirring up some trouble. But I just have to ask you one thing before we go to break. What the hell was Michael B. Jordan wearing?
to describe it without seeing it, it was like a colorful cloth harness that he's wearing over his tuxedo jacket.
I initially thought he had like a sling, like a fashionable sling for a broken arm, but he didn't break anything.
No. Apparently, Steve, this is the new fashion trend of 2019. Timothée Chalamet wore one at the Golden Globes. They look like, as people have been describing it on my Facebook, I lost my sports bra. Oh, no, there it is. He's wearing it.
Yeah, it's just hanging around his... I don't get it.
It looks like a harness, and it's intentional. He later at the after parties, he took his tuxedo jacket off, had a very beautiful navy blue tuxedo, takes the jacket off, puts the harness back on. So it was
the harness is the 2019 cummerbund.
I guess so.
Well, like the cummerbund, I hope it goes away very quickly.
I guess so.
Stand by. We'll come back.
But I'm going to be wearing one at the Moron Awards, just so you know, right
but
now.
But you'll wear it on your head there.
If they make them in Husky Big Boy sizes, I'm wearing one at the Moron Awards.
Dan and I will come out together with wrapped around our foreheads two man harnesses. Stand by, and we'll also come back with one of your wingmen from your Sunday show. Andy Mazur is here today.
Andy was very busy at the Sox Fest yesterday.
Yeah, we got to describing all the things that are going on.
We got too much show to do.
Andy, the first time in a sports broadcast, Andy actually opened a kissing booth at the Sox Fest.
I literally thought you were going to say his first time in a sports bra. It's
well, I didn't see him, so I can't.
That's a good point. You didn't.
Can't really say one way or the other.
Uh-huh. You'll be calling his name. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 972.
Kendall Coyne will join us here in a few minutes. The Olympian lit up the NHL weekend. We'll tell you about that, but let's run through a couple of quickies here. Rent, not so live?
No, it was kind of interesting that one of the lead actors, the actor that plays the character of Roger in the show, he was
Brennan Hunt.
Yeah, right. He actually broke his foot the day before on Saturday. They were doing a rehearsal and he broke his foot. They don't have any understudies for the show like they normally would for live theatrical. So what they did was most of what you watched, Mary, was recorded from previous dress rehearsals. They incorporated pre-recorded segments,
so they didn't have a choice.
So it wasn't live, actually.
There were a couple of portions. If you were watching carefully, there were a couple of portions where you saw Roger. He was seated, was in a wheelchair in one scene. They actually showed his cast on his foot in one scene, and he was also in the finale. But I thought the best part. I actually watched both after the Screen Actors Guild. I watched Rent because, you know, I like musicals, but I was a little disappointed with it. Did you like it?
I loved it. I missed the last hour. I had to go to bed, but so I didn't see the last. I was very surprised. And like Vanessa Hudgens, I mean, she was phenomenal. Yeah, the set was crazy.
Enormous.
It was huge, and they were running around like maniacs. And the girl who played Mimi was so good. She was dancing her heart out while trying to sing. I thought it was really good. And Jordan Fisher, loved him.
Yeah, good. Well, I'm glad you liked it. I thought the whole thing with the new cast felt kind of flat. At the very end, on the curtain call, they brought out the original Broadway cast of Rent.
That's cool. Touch.
Oh, cool. I
Idina Menzel, Tate
cool touch.
Diggs, the whole original wow. cast, and they sang Seasons of Love with the new cast. And that was
a great
truly
movie.
Magical.
I'm
going
to watch that tonight.
Dean is talking about the Michael Jackson documentary controversy all morning on TV. But before we go, Lady Gaga is doing a concert in Vegas, and she brought out a friend. What happened?
She brought out her co-star and director from the movie A Star Is Born, Bradley Cooper.
Pretty cool.
Crowd goes wild. The whole place goes nuts. And she starts playing her song, Shallow. Bradley Cooper grabs a microphone and starts singing with her. They do the duet. They basically do the scene from the movie live for the people who are at the theater. And it's incredible. The video is posted everywhere.
Yeah, it's really cool.
You can find it anywhere. But
I love those cameos in concerts. They border on cheesy, but I'm a sucker for all of those moments. I remember Elton John coming in to do Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me with George Michael.
Right.
You know, those type of things. Those are great moments.
I know we're not supposed to give any details away of the Moron Awards, but when you see Steve and I recreate that scene from Dirty Dancing where he runs and I catch him in my
right.
arms.
It's going to be something else.
That we had the time of our life. That's going to be a tearjerker. Also.
Now, listen, this is producer stuff, but do we have a paramedic standing by?
I don't think we need one. I've been rehearsing. I think we'll be fine.
Thank you, buddy.
See ya.
We'll come back in just a moment with your headlines on 720 WGN.
An outstanding job by Kendall Coyne. Watch the feet move there. The angles are terrific. The edge work is outstanding. And the stride is just amazing. You can watch the miles per hour up top there at 22 miles. An hour was the peak. Some great stuff there and having some fun with the guys as well.
Kendall Coyne, friend of the show, friend of the radio station, Olympic champion, and the fastest woman on skates. By the way, Connor McDavid, who I believe has some sort of power booster in him, Connor McDavid finished 1 second ahead of Kendall Coyne. That's how fast she is. First woman to compete in the NHL skills competition. You kick butt, man. Everybody's talking about you.
So great.
Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Well, thanks for coming back. It was very cool to see. I've watched the video about 900 times. I don't know how you do anything that fast, let alone on skates, but it was very cool.
Thank you. Yeah, it was definitely an honor to be a part of, honor to represent Chicago as always. But I think the coolest part is being able to break a barrier and, see what the future holds.
You know what I love, too, when you came around, you come down the home stretch. You hit your time, and then all the guys that wanted to high five you, the post goal scoring high five on the bench. It was very cool. How excited the guys were!
Yeah, they were awesome. They were so supportive, and I heard from a lot of them on the ice that they couldn't wait to see me go, and some were a little nervous that they didn't want to lose, and I was excited to watch them. I went up to Connor McDavid. I'm like, "Are you nervous? Like you have everything to lose." And he was like, "I'm a little nervous."
14.34 seconds. It takes me that long to go to the men's room at a Hawks game. And that's after I get in.
Kendall, how did this come about? How did this happen?
So about 2 weeks ago, I knew I was going to the NHL All-Star weekend, and I was taking place and demonstrating the accuracy shooting. And then the day we got there, we were rehearsing for the event, and I rehearsed the fastest skating competition. Had a number. I ran a 14.226 that night.
Wow.
That was the day before. And then the next day, they went as planned. And then, sure enough, roughly around 2 o'clock Pacific time, Colorado Avalanche tweeted at me saying Nathan MacKinnon is unable to compete and asked if I'd fill in for his spot. Obviously, I replied, absolutely, and I'll get to the rink as fast as I can. And so I found out only a few hours before, but it goes without saying there were a lot of people behind the scenes, including the NHL, NHLPA players, who had to make that happen because obviously it was quite the stance.
Well, yeah, but I mean, come on, man, give yourself some credit. You didn't have any warning. You didn't even. Maybe on some level it's good because you didn't have time to freak out.
Yeah, but it was, in that moment, you don't even think about that. You're just so ready to go.
Kendall, you're on the ice. You're getting ready to go. They're getting ready to start you off. What's going through your mind? I mean, you talk about breaking barriers. I mean, are you thinking about that as you're getting ready to start?
Not as ready. Not when I was getting ready to start. What was going through my mind? I got to the starting line, and the crowd just erupted, and they started chanting USA, and I was actually in my starting position, and then I heard the USA chant, and I kind of stood up and just took it all in, and smiled, and in the moment, you don't right away, you don't really think about that, but definitely the few hours I had leading up to that moment, that's all I was thinking about is how many lives this can change. How is it going to change the perception of women's hockey? And it's just going to be an amazing moment for all.
You talked about that last time you were in. I think that's maybe the coolest piece of news that comes out of the gold medal. And by the way, skating with the gold medal on could have slowed you down. I would have taken that off. But you inspire so many girls who, in a very near time frame wouldn't even have been encouraged to play to go after it. Live your dream.
Absolutely. And I think, it's more than just girls, too. I think, people that have maybe never even considered watching women's hockey before.
Amen.
Or, there's the perception that the women's game isn't as fast as the men's game. I hope that number might have proved that wrong.
One of your teammates, too, took part in the skills competition in the NHL All-Star Weekend as well, with Brianna Decker going on there with the passing competition.
Yep. And she killed it.
That's that tape-to-tape thing.
Yeah, the tape-to-tape thing. And that's got to be great for you. I mean, because you guys, when you won the gold medal, I mean, everybody stood up to notice, and now you guys are getting even more recognition here in the NHL as part of their big All-Star weekend.
Right, and the NHL always embodies hockey is for everyone. We're seeing that. They live it, they breathe it, and, for them to incorporate women's hockey is tremendous. They obviously have an amazing platform for our sport, probably the biggest in our country. And so for them to really realize, the impact that they can have and implementing that is unbelievable. And, we can't thank the NHL enough for their continued support.
And they continue to survive. I remember being at a game where you were introduced at the game. The crowd went wild. For hockey fans and for the NHL, are you surprised at how much they've embraced your story, the team's story, and have really encouraged you to be a part of the NHL?
I'm not surprised at all because, like I said before, they always talk about how hockey is for everyone. And you see the initiatives they do day in and day out all over the country and the world, for that matter. So for them to, recognize and support, the most elite women in the game is a no-brainer. They value us like they value their NHL players.
Well, and as they should.
That showed last night, Friday night.
All right, so you have a gold medal. You've been a champion for years and years and years. You're a great player. You met a lot of people. Did you get any starstruck at all? Did you meet anybody this weekend where you thought, how cool is that?
I met a lot of cool people, don't get me wrong, but it's fun to talk to Patrick Kane on the ice. Obviously, you guys all know I'm a huge Blackhawks fan. He's definitely my favorite player, and we were talking about the Chicago Pro Hockey League a little bit.
He's a good dude.
I was nervous.
And here's the thing. I'm not kissing up to you here. I know a lot of those guys are excited to meet you.
I think they were excited to see me skate because the word when I got the call, the word went around fast, and the guys were just talking. They said they heard I was really fast, so I think a few of them were worried that they were going to lose, and so it was kind of funny to hear them so nervous because I was like, I have full confidence in you guys.
Yeah, come on. Did your phone blow up afterwards?
It did, and it's kind of. It's obviously so amazing to see the support and the reception, and it's actually crazy. I think I've gotten more calls and texts and messages now than the Olympics.
Isn't that funny? Did you have anybody at the game with you?
I didn't. At first I was just demoing the one drill, and obviously this all came about pretty quickly, so I know my family wishes they were there, but with only a few hours notice, they couldn't get to San Jose in time.
Well, that's the thing. And at Oak Lawn, parade
in
the street time.
Yeah, they're in Payless.
Yeah, they're in Payless. But, the people of Payless and Oak Lawn, come on. It's parade time. what are you doing for an encore? What are you doing next?
The next big thing for us is we have three games against Canada coming up in the middle of February, 12th, 14th, and 17th. All those games are going to be on NHL Network. which is huge for us. Part of our lawsuit 2 years ago was more programming,
right.
And this is the result of that. So we're super excited to finally see everything come full circle and be able to play these games.
And are you going to the Super Bowl?
I'm not. You got to earn your way there when you have someone in the household who's been in it. So, no, we're not going this year, unfortunately.
Well, that's all right. Tell Michael we said hello. 6 months married now.
Yeah, it's crazy. We still love each other.
Well, how about that?
I'm just kidding.
All right. Well, listen, it's great talking to you. You know you're always welcome here. We're super proud of you, and it was just fun to watch.
Thanks so much, Steve. Yeah, it's I'm always so grateful for all of your support, and you guys support our game, support the men's game, and there's no place like home.
Amen. All right.
There you go.
Enjoy the week.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Justin. Stay warm.
Yeah. Kendall Coyne.
Amazing story.
We'll come back. I was looking for Lou, and Lou's in the middle of a meeting. I don't know that we're going to get Lou, but I want to talk a little White Sox when we come back, too, okay. From the weekend.
Cool.
Well, we got tomorrow, and there's plenty of weather to go around, Steve.
You know, that's the thing. It'd be a good week to be Kendall Coyne, because, you know, well, it's cold. Big deal. It's my job.
Yeah.
When does a hockey player admit it's cold?
Probably never.
If you're Kendall Coyne, do you think, okay, the All-Star game was in San Jose, maybe stay a week here?
Yes. Yeah, I would.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
All right, so Sox Fest. Of course, we're your Chicago White Sox radio station. And pitchers and catchers report in about 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And we were at Sox Fest this weekend. Andy, you were there most of the weekend.
Yeah, it was fun.
Because here's what I think of the Sox broadcast team. You got your Ed, your DJ, and you. And then Carms and Hogue. Oh, I mean,
right?
They're just sponging. They're just hanging on. Nobody knows more baseball than Andy Mazur. All right, so what impressed you about the weekend?
I was really impressed with the talking from some of the younger guys. I mean, we've really seen some growth even from last year. Michael Kopech, to me, is a different guy. I mean, I don't know if it's something that kind of wakes you up a little bit after you have an injury and you have a setback. He got a little experience talking to the media a little bit last year, and media was following him around in Charlotte anyway. But to listen to him kind of relax and kind of let the guard down a little bit and tell some funny stories and be really relatable, and I think all the guys did that. I think I did a panel with Dylan Cease and with Nick Madrigal and Sebi Zavala, along with Chris Getz, and those guys were great. I mean, you could ask them any question you wanted. They were very accommodating to the fan questions. Some were a little off the beaten path, but I thought they did a really nice job with that. And I just thought the vibe around there was really, really positive.
Yeah, there was
everywhere you walked.
And there's a building confidence that makes sense with the same arc that the team's on. Kopech, by the way, there were two things.
Hmm?
One is they were selling Kopech mound dirt,
yeah,
from his debut for $25 a jar.
Yep.
I don't know how well they did on that in the end, but it was dirt.
It was dirt.
But Kopech, the other thing I like from Kopech is when he was talking about being hurt, he talked about how frustrating it is not to be playing. And too many times I hear modern athletes go, I don't know how long it's going to be. Fans want to hear, I'm frustrated because I'm not playing and I want to get back.
Absolutely. And I can only harken back to the days of Kerry Wood when he went through the surgery, and he would tell me all the time, the hardest part about it was not the surgery itself. It was the rehab, and it was being away from the team. Because
rehab and the weight.
Yeah, and you don't feel like you have a connection with the guys that you were going to war with for whatever, how many starts he made last year. So that's the toughest thing, and I think that's the big project to try to get him still kind of ingrained with the ball club. I mean, he's going to do a lot of his rehab. You got to do it where it's warm to be able to throw or go indoors here. But I think they're going to do a really good job, and they're going to make sure that he is around the team and still feels a part of things.
Super Joe and Justin are your staff, rabid White Sox fans.
The rabid.
Mm-hmm.
Super Joe, any questions for Andy about your team?
Yeah, I got a quick question for you.
Okay.
When can we expect Eloy Jimenez to be in the lineup?
Let's bring him out right now.
Yeah.
Eloy Jimenez.
There he is. Hey, Eloy, how you doing?
Almost.
You know, I'm thinking it's going to be mid to late April because of the service time situation. but I explain it this way. You know, because a guy that has the potential that he has, would you rather have him going into free agency after his sixth year or after his fifth? I mean, if he has a monster year, his fifth year. You don't have him. I mean, there's a chance you lose him. But you get, you know, when you talk about the sixer, you also have that time between year one and year six to work out a deal.
So there's a point to the strategy.
To me, there's a point to it. I mean, I can see where fans get a little upset about it. Cub fans were the same way with Chris Bryant, the way that the Cubs handled that situation.
Yeah, because it feels like greed from the ballpark.
It does feel like greed, but there's a method to it because you have more control. And it's not to say, okay, listen, we have control of you. You're under our thumb. You're going to do what we tell you to do.
Strategy.
It's more of a strategy, and it's more of a something to kind of control the paycheck at the beginning. Because we saw Chris Bryant qualified for Super 2 status, which means you've played enough games in the 2 years, mm-hmm. and you qualify for a bigger salary. But it's not going to be like a free agent
Chris
salary.
Chris Bryant took his team to the
I mean, it's a different
NL
situation.
And then also altogether, the World Series, right.
But that's kind of the thinking behind it. At least in my line.
Andy will be all over it all season long.
Glad to be.
The White Sox will be heard here. Good to see Ed and DJ the other day, too.
Yeah, absolutely right.
One other note from the weekend. I want to say hi and thank you to Ruth Kidane, I believe is the pronunciation. Checked me in at the Swiss Hotel last night and turned her into a fan and a very nice person. And,
nice.
Ruth, the official check-in person for the Steve Cochran Show.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't even know we had one of those.
I did not. That's good.
Got it. News is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Steve will be there.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
7:15 in L.A. And our friend Kelty Knight about to join us. She's just dozing off right now. After covering the Sags, dozing off now, and going to all the parties afterwards. It's a vicious circle. But I say we start with the way we should start. On 1, 2, 3, join with me now. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Kelty Colleen Bush Knight. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
There it is.
It's for you, Kelty.
You guys are so sweet.
Happy birthday.
You're so nice. You could have canceled this radio hit as a nicer birthday present for me.
Love you, but not that much. All right, so you're working all day for ET, I'm sure, because you got to do packages now. You got to post up. You got to do all the things from last night. So tell us what stood out from the SAG Awards.
What stood out for the SAG Awards is that I made a fool of myself on the red carpet with Lady Gaga, and I've lived to tell.
What? What happened?
So Lady Gaga, of course, was nominated for Female Actress.
Right.
And she came on the red carpet, and her publicist had said she's not doing press because she blew out her voice. You know, she sang at her residency on Saturday night with Bradley Cooper, had no voice, was on vocal rest.
Right.
So I had prepared a big moment for me and Lady Gaga. I brought her Fruity Pebbles. Remember, after she won the Golden Globe, she was in bed with the Fruity Pebbles.
Yeah.
Well, I brought Fruity Pebbles, and I was like, well, I'm not forgetting this. I'm not giving Lady Gaga these Fruity Pebbles.
Right.
So I essentially followed her down the red carpet with one of my producers on an iPhone, and I found her, and I was like, Gaga, I've got pebbles for you, girl. And she had a big laugh, and that was the best moment of my career. Shameless self-promotion / Gaga needs her pebbles.
I don't think you made a fool of yourself. I think that's a rock star move. I think that's great.
Right? And you know these award shows are so long, she's probably hungry. Yeah. I hope she took them inside. We'll see.
Maybe I can't remember specifically, but when they got to her category, I thought it was weird she had a handful of Fruity Pebbles.
Right. And little do we know, they're from our friend Kelty.
There you go. But last night was amazing. I love seeing Black Panther take home the cast in motion picture. 48% of the movies that win in that category at the Screen Actors Guild tend to win the Oscar. Because a lot of the Screen Actors Guild members are also members of the Academy. It's the same voting. So Black Panther sort of overnight became a front runner for an Oscar, which is cool.
What about, you come from music, right? You were a dancer your whole life. What's that? You were a great dancer. Everything I've read about you was you were a great dancer. Weren't you a great dancer?
Yes, I was. I was a Radio City Rockette in New York.
Right, so own it. You're a great dancer. So, the Queen movie, Bohemian Rhapsody, the movie, A Star Is Born. I just don't feel like music is getting its love.
Well, this is one of those award seasons, so you are right in a way, and this is one of those award seasons where it's very, very diversified between the roles. So Rami Malek is really representing Bohemian Rhapsody because it's not tending to chart in any other category, but he's so fabulous in this movie. I think he'll probably take the Oscar as well. It is sad to see Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper sort of shut out, although Shallow from Lady Gaga is the front runner to win Best Song at the Oscars. Right. But an interesting little bit of drama is happening with the Oscars, more drama. They've only invited so far two of the Best Song nominees, All the Stars from Black Panther and Lady Gaga from Shallow, to perform. Usually all five perform, but right now they're shutting out the other nominees from doing an on-camera performance, which I think is weird and kind of sad. So I hope they change their mind before the Oscars.
Is that a length of show thing? They're trying to keep the pace up, or what do you make of that?
I'm sure, but the only part I really, cut down these people talking about their moms and, have more musical performances. Yeah, that's the highlight for me, for some of, a regular person watching. I want to see the fashion, and then to see these people sing, I want to see Emily Blunt sing her Mary Poppins song.
Absolutely. Sure. And even the I'll Fight song, the RBG, is a Jennifer Hudson song. So it'd be interesting to see how that,
exactly.
I thought last night when I was watching, such great talent all the way through, but particularly in the Best Actor category. You went from Viggo Mortensen to Bradley Cooper to Christian Bale for his role in Dick, in Vice and Dick Cheney, and the win goes to Rami Malek. It seems to me that's going to be a very contentious category because you saw the Golden Globes go with Christian Bale, the SAG actors, the SAG Awards go with Rami Malek. It seems like that's going to be one that you're not going to be able to predict.
Well, what happens, and this is what is really interesting, and why the Screen Actors Guild Awards are such a good sort of foreshadow of the Oscars, is because actually Christian Bale won the Globe for his role because he was part of a comedy, and then Rami won the Golden Globe as well in his category. They were not in the same category at the Golden Globe. This is the first time that they've been against each other, and Rami has taken it. So they're both winners at the Golden Globes. Rami takes the Screen Actors Guild Award. We'll have to see what happens at the Oscars, but this is a crazy category. I mean, the level of art that these gentlemen are putting out is so fabulous. They're all such nice guys, so you're kind of rooting for all of them. There's no sort of Hollywood jerks in this category. So it's really hard. But here's the good news, guys. They're all rich, and they're famous, and they're going to be fine no matter if they win or lose. Right.
Was there any complaining or whining last night by anyone? And let's out them all if there was.
For sure. It was the cast when they found out that Melissa McCarthy had not packed sandwiches.
Sandwiches
at the Golden Globe Awards and fed everyone, and I saw Melissa on the carpet and I said, "Where's your sandwiches?" And she said, "To be honest with you, I made one sandwich and brought it for myself, and my husband, Ben Falcone, ate it in the car on the way over, and now we have no sandwiches." And everyone that I said, "Are you going to get a Melissa sandwich?" They were like, "Yeah, I didn't bring any peanuts in my clutch because I'm waiting for the sandwich, and now there's no sandwiches." So Hollywood was hungry last night.
Boy, you don't want a cranky star. Last thing before we let you go to bed. The cameo Bradley Cooper walk-on with Gaga in Vegas this weekend was great. And this is how good Bradley Cooper is. He came out. He was an awkward rock star. He sort of felt funny about being there. It was Gaga's night. She was loving. She wanted him to be there. She set him up right. She put his in-ears in because he'd never worn in-ears, those amplifiers that you wear that look like headphones. It was a cool moment. Man, I'm telling you, I know they're both in great relationships, but I would buy those two together anytime.
I said that early in the season at the Toronto Film Festival. I said, well, they're obviously in love, right? And then I find out she's engaged, and of course he's with his longtime love, and they have a baby together, so I don't want to speculate. I'm sure they're both very happy, but there is a special and very deep love between the two of these people, and I loved to see Bradley Cooper out there playing air guitar with Lady Gaga. Like, he didn't know what to do because he didn't have a prop.
He was awkward.
And it was like her time to sing, and he was just kind of like playing his jeans pocket, and I was like, stars are just like us, awkward and weird. Around Lady Gaga.
Right. And by the way, the dude can really sing. I mean, he just harmonized and he sang. I mean, I know he sung that song a million times now, but this is not one of those fake deals. The guy's got a good voice.
This is isn't. And so often in Hollywood, people don't realize this, but when you're in a movie, sometimes they have someone come in and sing the singy parts for you, and you lip sync. No, he's really, really talented. And actually, this made me fall in love with Bradley Cooper, this role, a little bit more. I was never hardcore on the Bradley Cooper train. He was never my leading man that I, like, loved. And now I'm kind of like, am I in love with Bradley Cooper? I think I might be. He's so dreamy. I guess it's the rock star, you know? Like, anytime a guy picks up guitar and sings, you're like, oh, of course, I love him.
The only thing better is a British accent. Your team is so easy to sway.
I know, we're so stupid.
Kelty Knight, all over your entertainment tonight and all over your entertainment situation. By the way, she'll come to your birthday parties or bar mitzvahs, and I book her for all that stuff.
Happy birthday.
I'll do anything for money. Yeah.
Happy birthday. Your husband better do something nice for you.
I hope so. I can see my present sitting on the counter.
And I can see him going, oh, my God, I got to go shopping. All right, great talking to you. Thanks for doing this. Kelty Knight from Entertainment Tonight. We're going to come back in a second, and Lou Manfredini will join us tell us what we should do to our houses immediately in this full week of winter and one week that we're living in now.
Talk to Lou, he has a plan. 720, call the man.
Our old friend Dan Finnegan reminds us first responders have a very tough job. Well, a tough job any day, but certainly on a day like this. We talked about movers and, you know, contractors, man. Contractors out there working on stuff. Lou Manfredini joins us now. God bless, Lou. Anybody that's outside on a day like today or any day this week, because it's going to get worse.
Oh, my gosh. I remember the days when I was working outside on days like this, and, you know, to say you get used to it is you don't.
It's nonsense.
And what's going to happen in the next couple of days is just going to be so darn dangerous that, a bunch of schools got closed today because of the snow. I would imagine that there'll be a bunch of school closings and offices telling people to stay at home because it's just that is apocalyptic cold. That's
well, you know, it's the number one thing that I thought of today. Why didn't I get the recliner I was offered for my office? I just could just live
it there.
I could just live in it the entire week.
But this is all glass.
Doesn't matter. Like, I have any pride at my age, please. All right, Lou, a couple of things. Things you've mentioned before, but things are absolutely bear repeating right now. A trickle in the faucet means what, and should we literally let the faucets run all week?
Well, in the areas where you have faucets on outside walls of your home, and so I was, Brian Noonan had me on yesterday when he was on Sunday, and what I told people is, if you have a kitchen faucet, it's on an outside wall, and you open up the cabinet, and you see the pipes coming out of the wall at the back of the cabinet,
yep,
then that's a place where you should have a trickle, and both the hot and cold water, I think I mentioned this to you, Steve. Put a bowl or a pot underneath there. Collect some of that water. Use it for the dog bowl or the cat bowl, or maybe even use it to water your indoor plants. You won't be able to retain all that water, but a little bit of a trickle now is way less expensive than frozen pipes and potentially bursting pipes. But real quick, can I make a comment about something that I did today that I think people need to be aware of?
Well, just so I understand. So on that outside wall thing, literally leave it, let it trickle all week?
Well, I mean, when we're below this, you know, sub 10 degrees, I would say yes, and keep the cabinet doors open. I was out shoveling this morning, and we've got some evergreens and boxwoods and different bushes out in front that are loaded with snow.
Yeah.
You need to knock that snow off of there before this deep freeze comes, because you will burn the evergreens, and then in the spring, you'll be replacing bushes.
Okay.
So today, while it's a little bit warmer, you can go out there. You'll kill it. You'll absolutely kill it.
Wow.
And boxwoods in particular are very susceptible to this. Essentially, it's frostbite, but it won't come back, and you'll be replacing the bushes. So today, you know, I was outside. I was sweating. It was so warm when you're all bundled up shoveling away. And knock all that snow off of there, and because when that deep freeze comes, you run the risk of killing those bushes.
Lou, there's going to be, you know, obviously putting plastic on the windows and bundling up inside when people have drafts, things like that. That's for keeping warm. But when we're talking about our house, are there things we can do to prep the house so that we don't have pipes burst or other problems that might be exacerbated by the cold?
So that trickle that we talked about is important. If you have a vanity faucet in a powder room or a bathroom somewhere in an outside wall, open up the cabinet doors to allow the heat from the room in there. I can't stress this enough. If you have a furnace, a forced air furnace, you got to check that filter. If that filter is dirty, you will unduly tax the system as it's trying to keep up. And if you can't get out to the store, then just run it without a filter in it. That's fine. It's not going to hurt it. It's going to allow it to breathe more easily, and you lessen the fact of the thing timing out or saying, why can't I heat this up? I'm going to shut it down. I promise you that the HVAC contractors are going to be super busy.
So it doesn't matter that you can do it without a furnace or without a filter?
You can live without a filter for a couple of days. It's not the end of the world to allow that to go. Now, here's the other thing, Justin, is that people will say, hey, my house is fine. I got it. You know, it works great. I have the thing set at 70 degrees, and the house won't get above 67 because it's so cold. Well, if you go to the thermostat and you're like, I'm going to put it to 78, it is not like a gas pedal on your car.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way. So just leave it at 70 and let it try and catch up, trying to limit those drafts. If the sun is out, open up the drapes, let the sun help to heat the home a little bit. At night, close the drapes, close the blinds, hold the cold air in. One of my favorite tubes of caulk you can buy is something called Zip Away. And the Zip Away is this product you can use as a removable caulking. So all those windows that are drafty like crazy, caulk the heck out of them. And then when it warms up next week, just peel it away.
Peel it away, throw it away, because it's going to be 40 on Sunday.
Lou,
exactly.
The other question I have, you know, we get this about cars all the time, about de-icing doors and locks. Do we have to worry about our doors, or in particular, our garage doors for some that have the electronic garage doors?
Absolutely, and this is the problem. When we get really cold like this, the garages start to move a little bit, and so I'll hear from a lot of people that they'll hit the button on the car and the door won't go down because the track has moved, or the eyes, the electronic eyes, they've wrenched a little bit because of the cold weather because it's mounted to a piece of wood. All of that can be an issue. Do not take lightweight oil and spray the track. That will cause more problems. Now is not the time to do any oiling.
It's summer.
Of anything. That's a summer project. But what you need to do is, you can loosen that emergency chain, which allows you to manually open the door and close the door. Mm-hmm. And you can do that. If you can easily open and close the door by hand, if you have the strength to do that, the motor should keep up. As far as just in that, the locks in your car, most of us now have electronic key fobs.
Right.
But the thing is that with this kind of ice, the weather stripping on the car can become a little sticky. And with moisture and heat, all of a sudden you can't open the door. So something like you could take a little rag, a cotton rag or so, and you could spray a little PAM, okay, a little lightweight oil, and just wipe the weather stripping just a little bit, not a lot, just a little, so it doesn't stick. And then later you can collect that and fry something up, you know, for breakfast.
Since it's going to be 40 on Sunday, look, we got ice piles. My sister's got literally a pile of ice that's frozen, you know, snow, frozen ice over the top. Is it better at this point just to wait it out instead of trying to use all the calcium chloride on the planet to try to melt it?
On Wednesday, none of the calcium chloride or the ice melt will work at all. It is not designed to work at that level.
Okay.
So my suggestion to people today is, with all this snow, do your best to clear what you can, because it's a little warmer. I experienced this myself. I live in Chicago, so, you know, we probably had about 4 inches where we live, and I was able to get down to the pavement in certain areas. I'm going to let it sit for a few hours because it's warm. Then I'm going to go do a little bit more shoveling this afternoon and apply the ice melt to the larger areas now. Those big blocks of ice, you're going to be wasting your money. But the places where you're worried about slipping and falling, I would treat those now so you're protected today and tomorrow. And hopefully that's clear by the time Wednesday come and we're living in Nanook of the North or whatever it's going
to be. Like Mary Vandeveld said earlier, move to Alaska. It's warmer.
Yeah.
All right. I'm way late here, but I got to give me 30 seconds on ceiling fans and humidifiers.
Humidifiers cannot stress this enough. By adding humidity to the air, you'll be more comfortable. It'll hold more heat. So if you have a whole house humidifier, run it. You only want it to be around 20% right now. It takes 24 hours for that to reset. So I would set it now. If you use room humidifiers, that's fine. Use those. You'll be more comfortable. Ceiling fans on low. I really don't care what direction, but if it's sucking up from the center, you don't feel the draft. It's 5 to 7 degrees warmer at the ceiling. That constant circulation of the air will make the home warmer. It'll actually cause your furnace to run less. You'll save some energy, and it should be able to keep it up with this really, really cold weather.
All of that. Free from Lou to you and me, because he's a giver and we're all takers. Thank you, buddy.
Love you.
Love you back. Lou Manfredini.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
All right, Illinois Treasurer Mike Frags joins us now. And how are you, Mr. Treasurer? All right?
I'm good this morning. Well, good snowy morning to you, Steve.
Don't you start with me. All right.
Down here in Champaign, it's raining.
Yeah, well, in Champaign in 2 days, you'll be almost in the same icebox. But we're gonna get through this. I don't want you to worry. By this time next week, it's going to be, you know, another sloppy winter day.
Exactly. I'm not worried at all. That's what layers are for.
That's exactly right. Listen, Illinois gets properly beaten up for a lot of things, unfairly beaten up for others. But, yeah, the shutdown's over. But I think your department and the state...
It's temporarily over.
Yeah, that's a good point.
3-week delay, and we'll see what happens at the end of that time.
Point of all of this is your department and the state deserve credit for a loan program for furloughed federal workers. So where are we on that, and is it still in play because of the tentative nature of the shutdown?
Exactly. Right now, it's not being used because the shutdown has ended, but it's only a 3-week delay. So our office and banks and credit unions throughout the state stand ready to step in if government shuts down again. We were able to put this together fairly quickly because, if you remember, Steve, a little less than 4 years ago, the state of Illinois went through something very similar, where they couldn't pass a budget, employees weren't going to get paid.
Right.
But in that case, state workers went to the courts, and the courts ruled, if you show up to work, you have to be paid.
Yep.
Treasurer D, I'm interested, is this something that will stay on the books? Because I unfortunately don't think this will be the last government shutdown, even if we're in a temporary. It seems like this is politics as usual, as you just said, we heard in the last 4 years statewide. But is this something that you can, with a snap of the finger, be able to bring out when there's a next time there's a shutdown?
Yeah, that's the plan. This doesn't go into effect if government is working, but if they go into another shutdown, it just comes right off the shelf. It's basically the same program we put in place 3.5 years ago for state employees who look like they weren't going to get paid. And we have good partnerships with banks and credit unions throughout the state. We imagine those will continue, and therefore that relationship for our linked deposit program will continue if there's a need in the future.
So it doesn't apply to the President Trump program of the grocery store will loan you groceries? That's probably not the same thing?
That's probably a different department in charge of that. Yeah. As a treasurer, we just focused on the money. We let the president focus on his imagination.
Speaking of money, you got to find revenue as fast as you can and as much as you can. You want to let us in on any secrets?
Well, what we've been working on the treasurer's office, because we don't raise revenue, we don't set the budget, is trying to increase interest income to the state, because we know that every dollar we can make in interest is a dollar that the governor and the General Assembly don't have to raise in taxes. So since we've come into office, we've done things a little differently. We didn't accept the status quo. The Fed raising interest rates has helped out a lot, but we've more than quadrupled interest income coming into the state of Illinois. It's not going to solve our budget problems, but every little bit we can bring in is helpful.
For the Treasurer's Office, how closely do you work with the governor's office when it comes to budget to identifying new revenue streams, or at least trying to capitalize on revenue streams?
Well, we have worked with the General Assembly. It was difficult to work with the last governor. He wasn't as interested in working with us. But I was very excited when the governor's office reached out to us during this federal shutdown and said, what can we do together? There are certain things that they had ability to affect through the Department of Professional and Financial Regulation. And as the chief investment officer, we had something. And we held a press conference together. It was a novel thing. For 4 years, the governor wasn't interested in working with us, but that changed with the new governor.
The new governor and all of your fellow Democrats in the assembly means you guys have it all, so you got to get it right. Any pressure?
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, when you run for office, you ask the voters to give you a chance. And then 4 years later, or 2 years later, you get a performance review from your bosses. Fortunately, last fall, my nearly 13 million bosses gave me a good performance review and gave me four more years of job security.
Treasurer Ferrix, I'm interested because we just came through 4 years of an administration telling us that that we needed money and we needed to cut at the budget level and they wanted to do things differently. We've seen this governor come in right away and talk about a hike to the minimum wage, a talk about legalizing marijuana, a possible casino coming through the legislature, so a Chicago casino. So at the treasurer's office, do you prefer knowing about these things so you can help try to capitalize and find the best interest, as you were just telling us? Do you prefer to be a part of the process, or is it just sort of when it's done, it's handed to you and you figure it out?
You know, we make do as we did for the last 4 years. I don't have a constitutional role in this, but we have ideas. We have businesses we work with. We hear things. And so it's nice if our partners in state government are willing to listen to us. If they're unwilling, well, we still do our job. We do the best we can. But it's a whole lot easier when you have some stability and predictability. We can invest for longer term when we know when money is going to be needed. And when we invest a longer term, we make a higher interest rate. It becomes a virtuous cycle as opposed to a vicious cycle. More money comes in, it makes their job easier as well.
Last question. Have you been able to get enough contact with the comptroller's office and whatever cross paths that you normally have to do with Mendoza on the road trying to become the mayor?
You know, we both have large staffs. Our staffs have worked together for a long time. We worked well at the comptroller's office before Comptroller Mendoza came in, and we've worked very well with her since she's come in. We've seen no problem there. She's got a great staff in place.
Yeah, I've got to say, again, this it seems like we could just have three or four people running the whole government if all this is true, Mike.
Well, I have been an advocate of that. I think we could find some efficiencies. I think we could merge some offices. I've been supportive, but that's out of my hands for right now.
And last thing, if Paul Vallis wins, we'll have the tallest treasurer-mayor combo in the history of any state in the union. I believe Vallis is 6'6". What are you, about 6'7"?
About 6'8". But that's not all that uncommon for state treasurers, apparently. The Oregon state treasurer is about 6'6", 6'7". The previous Missouri treasurer was 6'7". West Virginia is probably about 6'5". Previous Arizona was 6'4". So for some reason, people like electing tall state treasurers.
Good Lord, you're a bunch of Amazon accountants. That's unbelievable.
We had one meeting. We came together and looked around the room and said, something is different here. there were probably six or seven of us over 6'4".
It's wild. Who knew? That's maybe the most important fact we've gotten on this show all day long.
I'm glad to share that with you, Steve.
Thank you, Treasurer. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hey, you guys have a great morning. Be safe and stay warm.
There you go. State Treasurer Mike Ferrix, of course, bringing up something we can't do. Stay warm.
Can he play for the Bulls? I mean, they could use him, probably.
The Bulls? He would start for the Bulls tonight.
I think they could use him.
Use all of them, all those accounts.
Yeah.
Good Lord. Thanks to Andy Major for coming in. You going to do this again tomorrow?
I'm going to do it again tomorrow and even Wednesday. How about that?
Excellent. Adam Vinatieri just re-signed a deal, so we can't get him for the Bears. He's 46 years old.
And he can actually make a field goal.
And
how about
he's
that?
Still good.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, our kicker, Corky, is seeing a lot of competition.
Yes, he is.
9:57, Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Ryan will be next. The Bill and Wendy experiment is about to take the air. How are you guys?
Great. I feel like we're at a slumber party.
Might as well sleep over.
I didn't dress up today. I'm all comfy, cozy.
You know, this should shock you. I didn't dress up today either.
Really?
You're like the politicians who get in front of the microphone and they keep their sweatshirts on to prove to everyone they've been working all night.
That's I like that.
That's your style.
Right? Although I feel like George Costanza. I'm not wearing sweatpants in public, but
it's
a sweatshirt.
It's not velvet, though.
Well, if you look out Holly at the I feel like out at the lake, you could say the sea was angry that day, my friends. Bill, how was your weekend?
It was pretty good, Steve.
Uh-oh, trouble?
No, everything was great.
You can tell me.
Made $14 extra shoveling neighbors' walkways and driveways,
nice.
So pretty profitable.
Do you tell them you're Billy, the boy from down the street?
Yes, I do. And I
just looking to make a little extra money.
I dress slightly more grown up to sell that point.
When you wear a suit to shovel?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
That would be funny.
And then they go back in the house and go, "I like that boy, Billy. He does nice work."
He'll
I don't know who his
something.
Parents are, but he's terrific.
Yeah.
What are you doing today?
We're going to talk to Eric Zorn, and I think we're going to check in with Adam Hoge, who starts a show on the stream after us today.
Yeah. Super Bowl based.
Okay. Hey, Super Joe, what's the number of that phone line that people can call and ask me questions that we turn into a podcast? What's that number, Super Joe?
That would be 312
800-222-5085.
Just call that line. Leave a question about anything. We'll answer it. We'll turn it into a podcast.
About anything?
Anything. I'm talking about, you know, the show,
yeah.
Chicago,
yeah.
Politics,
yeah.
Love,
oh,
shoveling,
finance,
really,
shoveling,
it's a little bit of everything, really.
Shoveling in the show or something,
yeah.
They're in the same category.
Yeah. What's a sample question, Steve? Can you give us a sample question?
If a train left Pittsburgh at 2,
yeah,
hold on, yeah, that's one of my favorites.
It's ACT questions mostly.
Some. Not all.
All right.
Yeah. We'll come back tomorrow, I think, but who knows with this week. Right now, here's Wendy.